Hello, everybody. This is the Gingerbread Man, and I would like to welcome you to my home. Thanks for being here. I really appreciate your time. I appreciate your ears. I appreciate your attention. You are the focal point of this experience. Though this may be my outlet and my idea of creative speaking, it would not have a place unless I had an ear for my idea to land upon. So I am unceasingly grateful that you're here right now. And I'm glad that you chose to spend your time with me. Thank you. Here on the Gingerbread Man, I'm trying to push the idea of creative meaning. The ability to make meaning for ourselves by being aware and looking at our environment and our surroundings. And I want to promote my idea of unconditioned love. Not my idea, not by a long shot, but it's something that I think that I have inside me, and I'm optimistic enough to believe that there is a spark of goodness in every bit of life that exists, has existed, or will exist. I see this beauty of love all around me, and I lean into it. And what do I mean by unconditioned? With the conditioned love response, it's something that you do for a reason. If you're loving to promote your idea of loving, that is conditioned. If you're loving to help, that is conditioned. To simply love because they are would be unconditioned. You can unconditionally love a stranger or somebody that you will never, ever see again, or a moment, or a span of time. So my goals and orientation for this project are vast and genuinely general, to say the least. And I rarely know exactly what I want to talk about, even when I sit down here. But I do know that I'm speaking about something, even if it sounds like very little. I want today to speak about our connection, inevitably, to our environment. I want to bring up, again, ideas of present mindfulness, of being aware. Often on the show, I've spoken about forecasting the past and the present. So I'm not going to try to openly analyze this again, but I want to build upon it. This week, I've been graciously given many occurrences and lessons by reality, by the universe. I've honestly had a wonderful week. I guess I would say that I put my starting points on a Monday when I go into work, and the end point would be the weekend. Maybe that is a little choosy, and maybe perhaps I should relabel it end and beginnings and reverse them at some point. But I try to recuperate and revitalize throughout my weekends. And work, though, it doesn't have to be grueling and weighty, and I try not to make it, becomes taxing over time. And even though our work is not separate from our being, often it can feel difficult to have to work for somebody else. And even with our best positivity, by the end of a work week, I think we all get drained and we start to feel pressured, maybe more stress. So I am always very much ready for the recuperative moments of my weekend. So my week starts out this week in a little bit of challenges and struggles, and we didn't have people show up, and so I had to work alone by myself on a Monday. And I tried to with stand my cool front that I was trying to keep. The biggest thing that I do for my place of business is I try to be a rock of calm when I can. And even though the stability of my own mind is not anywhere near mature enough to be in that position, I still do my best to try to be a sense of calm that people can lean upon. And so I'm holding my cool front, and my other team member comes in with a bit of anxiety or stress. And I could tell that it was lingering from previous time periods. And yet I remember her coming up to me and asking me, like, do you think this is fair for what you have to do? Because I was the one working alone. And I told her, I was like, well, yeah, this is the best time for this to happen. I just had a wonderful weekend, and I was wonderfully present in my time away from here, and I am recharged and revitalized. And I did not say this in any wordy fashion because I wasn't in the same headspace that I am now, but this is just the gist of it. And I told her, I'm grateful that it's happening now, you know? With all of that challenge and shit that had to be wrangled in that moment, I could have approached it very difficult, but instead I made the best out of it, and I had a very good day. So even with something that I could have labeled as a negative environment in the past, was my choice on how I was going to craft the moment by moment action that was happening for me. We are right here. You see, we make our moments. No matter what we decide is outside in our environment. And what if it is a misnomer thinking that we are as separate from our environment as we do? The idea of having an I am here, there is a distance and a word of am between I and here. But words are fickle vehicles, and they do a shoddy apparent try to describe what reality is. Just as when we look at a film in a movie, it is an illusion because it is a still by still frame. Depending on what the frame rate is, it's still stills put to make the illusion of motion. So the still of reality, a photo of reality, carries as much of what reality is as a photo can carry. I don't know if that makes any sense. But when we take a picture of something, it is not what it is. And though we have formed placeholders of language to typify events and activities into time, because realistically, when we're describing anything, we have to nail it down to a moment and describe it, you know? So yet again, even language is imitating life, just as a photo does. And when we use thinking and words to decide and label our environment, we create the next minute. It comes by sheer attitude, and we affect others around us as well. And I felt myself getting aggravated with the negative energy of my coworker. Even though I could understand it, I felt that, I grossly felt in that moment how counterproductive it was. But what really caught me from acting an ass and being aggressive and further complicating the situation and letting negativity feed on itself and amalgamate, you know, I put myself in her shoes, and I readily saw how I had been there so many times before. So we have immense power through the way we think about our situations and how we use our language to describe situations. And we also have the ability to try to get rid of some of the distance between ourselves and the event. We are our events. We are what is happening. you can't get away from it. So I had a wonderful morning this morning. I took a small amount of psilocybic mushroom and I went hiking, and I didn't bring anything, not even headphones. And one of the things that I noticed is how slow and ponderous was my pace through the forest. I hesitantly approached a corner while looking at all of the textured surfaces of everything around me. I remember approaching a rock outcropping that had caves in it that you could crawl through if you were small enough and more dexterous than I am. And I noticed above, in a little tiny, like, inlet in the rock, like maybe 12 inches wide and 6 inches back, was a city of bright green lichen that was actively eating and decomposing the stone and turning it into chemical nutrient for its algae partnerships. And it made me think of the cliff dwellings and human settlements that were in similar cave systems. And I looked at all these little colonies of almost microscopic organisms working together in tandem, and I was just awestruck by it. And the reason that I could even be awestruck in is because of how present I was, and I was fully just appreciating what was in front of me and in front of my sight. Underneath the lichen cavern was another little cave that had open signs of habitude. Somebody had been inside of it, and I could see smoke. And fortunately, the cave had a sort of natural chimney, and you could just tell that there was enough crackage that you could light a fire inside of it and not have too much smoke. And it made me think about how opportune it was for nature to provide this for anybody who happened to be there who needed a place to rest, right next to the lichen cave. I walked a little bit further, and I came across another bend and another beautiful tree, an old gnarled tree that had spun and twisted and split into so many different paths as it reached for the sunlight. And I just sat there and I stared at it, and I thought about how beautiful it was. Yet all of these, what do you call it? Because there's so much further than thought. All of these experiences of me appreciating these little instances that were in my present moment. It was the ability to not judge it and not languish in language to try to describe it, that I could see how things seem to be. I could understand it easier. No matter what some people could call the high or the trip of some drug-altering mind. You see, I find a lot of pleasantries within the psychedelic experience. But first and foremost, what I think it does for people, which this isn't in any way a recommendation or a tutorial, and I'm not asking anybody else to follow what I've done. These are purely musings of my own personal subjective experience. Yet, time and time again, even when I was using them in my youth and I was unaware of what I was doing, these substances seem to thrust the person into the present moment. And science has labeled this prefrontal cortex of sorts that it has said that we think from. And this forward-thinking mind seems to sit atop the unconscious. I see the prefrontal like almost like a steering wheel of sorts, you know? You could turn the wheels with it. Like, when other things disinhibit that, such as alcohol, people lose their steering and they make choices that they feel are more willful or even undetermined that they would never do in their sober state of mind. And there's other stimulants that juice up the prefrontal. And it can feel very good to make actions and decisions. And people will just make decision after decision after decision just to continue to increase that dopamine buzz in the cortex. These are just my musings. This is what it seems to me from me looking at it. Yet, the psychedelics, I feel, and I do know that there are certain reports that I've read from science that shows that there seems to be some interaction or disturbance between the prefrontal and the rest of the mind, and an altering of the connectivity where certain sections of the brain will connect to and talk to other sides. Synesthesia is when people experience a blending of sensation where people will hear sounds, and, or not hear sounds, but see sounds or taste smells, you know, where music gains a certain elusive character to it and it starts to change and meld. You know, and this happens to do with the connectivity of the brain. It's also been witnessed in infants, I would say, that the child mind is much more connective and it talks more, and I think this is why it learns better. So I feel that there's a disturbance between the steering wheel temporarily when these chemical substances are entranced into the substrate. And for a little bit, you have much more ability to see the backgrounds. Because when we thrust ourselves into the future, and the way we thrust ourselves into the future is by decision making, the prefrontal cortex, I feel, wants us to continually go forward and make plans and succeed, you know? And the more that we're doing that, the less that we can be aware of what's happening in the rest of our brain. There's a lot of unconscious material. This is what comes up in our dreams. This is what comes up in our projections when we mistreat somebody. There's a lot of things that we do not know. We do not know about the world. And there's also many of those unknowables within our own selves. And I know it seems oxymoronic to say that I know that, but during this segment of time, and it seems to be reproducible very easily with the introduction of this chemical, I think we are thrust and we see what's right in front of us. And when we are more present, the brain begins to understand better because it's not judging it. You can only hear when you stop talking. You know? I read this Alan Watts quote that said that if we could really think that we know everything through our sensation, then it would be possible to describe what color looks like to a blind person through sense of smell and touch and taste. So, when we're more present, we're able to soak up more and we can see more. And I think we can learn how to do that even when not chemically bent. I think we can do that through focus. I think it's possible to want to be involved more with the outside. Because how thin is the difference between outside and inside of who we are? Maybe paper. So, that would be my musings for this week. I hope that it brings some bit of relativity to your situation, even if that is through disagreement. I would really like to have an open discourse with any of you at any point through my email, which is thegingerbreadmansdialogues@gmail.com. With agreement or disagreement. If you have anything that you would like to be on the show, if you'd like me to cover any material, I would be quick to take your recommendation, and I will let you let any of our audience know who said it was. And if I said something wrong, if I ever quoted a date or made some sort of justification that was unwarranted, I will call myself out if you so wish. If you give me the correct information, we can make this a better program together. So thank you for being here. Next, I'd like to do just a little bit of quotation, and we'll listen to Odin's take on how a young man sees this world. Let me go grab my book. So first, I bought a new Tao Te Ching today. This is translated by Ralph Allen Dale. It's a beautiful book, filled with the direct, I'm guessing, bronze script calligraphy and beautiful black and white photos. So I'm reading from Chapter 5, Yin and Yang. Yin and Yang aren't sentimental. They exist without moralizing. They act regardless of our wishes, within the ebb and flow of every pregnant moment. The space between Yin and Yang is like a billows, empty, yet infinitely full. The more it yields, the more it fills. Countless words count less than the silent balance between Yin and Yang. I know that in the I Ching, which has this set of idiomatic lines, so picture in your head six lines atop each other. Some of them are full and some of them are broken, which means there's a dash. And they're on top of each other. And depending upon how they're laid, makes different symbols. Very ancient way of symbolizing fate and dichotomies. So when you have broken lines, that signifies yin, because yin is receptive and weak. If it's broken, it can be filled. Yang is a strong, like a board, so it's a full line. All yang is heaven, all yin is earth. So earth would be mankind. Yet there's not a lot of actual difference between being man and being of this world, the I and the me. So the billows of creativity is infinitely full because the distinction itself is an illusion. At least that's how I see it. And next, a little bit of Alan Watts. I really enjoy this man and his thoughts. Sometimes, when resistance ceases, the pain simply goes away or dwindles to an easily tolerable ache. At other times, it remains, but the absence of any resistance brings about a way of feeling pain so unfamiliar as to be hard to describe. The pain is no longer problematic. I feel it, but there's no urge to get rid of it, for I have discovered that pain and the effort to be separate from it are the same thing. Wanting to get out of pain is the pain. It is not the reaction of an I distinct from this said pain. When you discover this, the desire to escape merges into the pain itself and it vanishes. Discounting aspirin for the moment, you cannot remove your head from a headache as you can remove your hand from a flame. You equals head equals ache. When you cannot see that you are the pain, pain ceases to be a motive, for there is no one to be moved. It becomes, in a true sense, of no consequence. It just hurts. Period. I like this one, too. I have a very hypochondriatic mind, and especially in my younger adulthood, like in my early 20s, I would have these little aches and pains that would migrate, and I'd get over them, and then as soon as I'd rationalize one pain, a new one would emerge, and it was just because of noticing these things and because of the distance between me and my physical body. And I've noticed that when you have an ache and you look right at it and you give up trying to get away from it, it does kind of disappear and you stop thinking about it. And you could be shocked how hours can go by without you realizing that you're even suffering, even though the same physical ailment is in place. It's quite curious. Quite curious. Anyhow. I really appreciate you coming. These moments in my week are very valuable. And I want you to know that you are a very important personhood. You're very important. I'm grateful that you woke up this morning. I'm grateful that you breathe. It is amazing that you exist. You are your world. You have an impact. Look at what you create. And remember that you are a creator. Thank you for being you. Let's go see how Odin's doing.
Hello, people. This is Gingerbread Man in Asco.
Woo!
I hope your week was good. So I know it's the weekends. I'm so silly. So I hope you had a good weekend. So I'm going to tell you about my school. My school is doing pretty good.
Beautiful.
Fun. And there's art and technology.
You really like technology, right?
Yeah, I actually do. I really like technology.
So what do you do in technology?
Display iPads. Waste. Sure. Bye, people!
Already?
Yeah, okay. I'm all having right. A quick reveal.
Go back to your technology. I love you, O.
Okay.
Thank you, guys. Bye. Have a great week.